It was a big deal to get this established, and I think you were part of that, yes?
Well, actually, I've come in more recently. I've been here about 6-7 years. The Elk and Bison Prairie was established back in 1996 by the previous manager, Marcus Cope.
Well, it involved bringing animals in and planting grasses, and I'd like you to paint the picture of the place that is sort of a treasure in our midst.
Well, the original idea was to try to bring back something that this area hasn't seen for a long time. Elk and bison were native to this area way back when the settlers started showing up. And we had found some remnant natural prairie sites on LBL, and one of them was at the site where the current Elk and Bison Prairie was located, and that's one reason they decided to stick it where it is. They, of course, had to do a lot of research. Elk really hadn't been released in this area before, and so part of it was just to try to introduce elk to see how they'd survive. So they released the initial group of elk in the Elk and Bison Prairie back in 1996. They're all from Elk Island National Park, which is in Alberta, Canada. And they had them all collared and tagged, and they were trying to see how well they'd survive on the foods we have here and everything else. And they did pretty much fine. The only issue we have here that they didn't have in Canada and parts of the West is a brain worm. And they weren't sure how they'd survive this little parasite. And so certain ones are susceptible to it, but then all the rest seem to do fine. After an initial period of trial and error, they found out they did pretty well here. And then it was later that they decided to start releasing elk in East Tennessee and East Kentucky and other places. Meanwhile, here, we were going to release them on land between the lakes, but there was really too much opposition from a lot of the farming community. So they decided, they're worried about crop problems. And so they decided to leave them in the fence. The other part of it is the prairie itself. You have the a rare landscape in that. Everything had been farmed and logged over the history. And so we ended up trying to bring back, the native grasses and native plants, and trying to get rid of the non-native stuff, the fescues and the lespedeses that aren't supposed to be here. And you let the grass grow up tall and scraggly looking, and that's what the wildlife loves. You start seeing different bird species and different kinds of critters and insects that crawl around in that kind of habitat than you'd see other places. And so trying to focus on preserving and enhancing that, it's really an ongoing project that we use different management techniques to, one, keep it good stuff for the critters to eat, the wild foods, the forages and the grasses and the forbs, and then also have good stuff out there for all the birds and the butterflies and all those fellas. So, there's always stuff trying to move in and take over, and we're trying to kind of keep a good balance with all that.
Now, tell me something, Curtis. When is the best time for a drive-through to actually see some of the critters?
Well, the warmer, sunnier the day is, the less the elk want to be out and exposed. So, it's getting a little cooler. Like when it's in the 90s, you're not usually going to see elk until the last hour or two of the day, maybe the first hour of the day. And then as it starts getting cooler, you'll start seeing them the last 2 or 3 hours of the day and the first 1 or 2 hours of the morning. And then when it starts getting into the nice cool fall and the rut begins, you'll start seeing them all day because the elk bulls will start pushing them around and everybody's moving around all day. So they're coming in and out of view. The bison, it doesn't really matter. You'll see everybody out in the heat of the summer. They're kind of more oblivious to how hot it is.
I understand that. Well, first of all, there is a caveat. These are wild animals, and you have to respect the fact and be careful. I understand some of the bison have been sort of aggressive of late.
They can be. The breeding season for the bison has been going on recently, and the bison bulls in particular are grumpy when they're in that breeding mood, and you know, it's not something you want to get close to. You know, and in the spring, the bison cows are protecting their babies, and they get pretty aggressive about that. So there's different times of the year, and usually breeding season, you got to look out for the boys, and calving season, you got to look out for the girls. But they're all quite capable of running somebody down and causing some damage to you, or you know, if you don't respect their space.
And that underlines the staying in your vehicle's quality of the drive-through, I would assume.
Yeah. It's very tempting to get out of the vehicle, try to get a closer, better picture, get a blade of grass out of the way of your camera or whatever. But if you're too close and they notice that and they're just in the wrong mood and you're in the wrong place, that's not a story you're going to want to tell your grandkids, probably. Is it getting flipped up over a vehicle or something?
Jeepers. Now, it seems to me it takes maybe a half hour to kind of cruise through really slowly. Is that about right?
Yeah, you know, you get a lot more out of it if you go slow. Stop every so often, you can turn your engine off. If you don't stop every so often, you're probably not going to hear the elk bugling. And a lot of these guys, especially in the brighter times of the day, they may be hanging around the edges. So it's best to really drive slow and look as you're going. And you can drive around as many times as you want once you get in there. And so it's about a 3.5-mile loop. So you can take, you know, half an hour. You can take, you know, 5 minutes. So it depends what you want to get out of it.
Or an hour, even, it sounds like, if they're being particularly picturesque. Now, there's something that I have not seen, and there is an orientation at the Golden Pond Visitor Center before driving through, if you so choose to partake.
Yes, they have a film that kind of covers a little bit of the prairie and at one of their short films they show in the lobby there of the visitor center.
Now back to bugling. Curtis, can you bugle like an elk?
No, not without an elk call or pick up from the hunting store. But and it's, you know, some people are surprised when they hear it. It's some people would call it majestic, other people would call it more nails on the chalkboard squealing. sound, but it's you can hear it from a very long distance, and that's part of why it sounds like it does. It's that right tone, I suppose, that gets it to go across a mountain range to call to other bulls their warning, and to call to elk cows that, hey, I'm a big guy that you should try to meet. And so you'll start hearing them more and more over the next couple of weeks, talking to each other that way. Trying to assert their dominance and tell everybody that they're in town.
To get to the Elk and Bison Prairie, I just head north from the Golden Pond Visitor Center. It's not far at all, is it?
No, it's about a half mile north.
And I would chunk in. I forget how much I chunk in to get in.
It's a $5 entry fee. And so we have cards you can buy at one of the visitor centers. That can swipe like a credit card swipes, or you can use your credit card at the entrance, or you can use exact cash, $1 or $5 bills.
Well, for the experience you get, it as your brochure says, it's truly a drive-through time. It's a way to really sense what life was like when settlers first came here, I think. And in that essence, it's a pretty important resource for families and for tourists and for each one of us to kind of understand more about where we are, don't you think?
Yeah, it's unique in that way. You can pick up some hints of what things might have been like. There's three interpretive stops, and each one has three different messages related to a certain period of time. You know, it's related from the Native American perspective or from a pioneer coming through, and that sort of thing. And so that gives you some hints of what things were like back in 17, 1800s.
Well, Curtis, I hope that you will agree to come and update us on the Elk and Bison Prairie again, and we thank you for speaking with us today.
All right. Well, thanks for calling me.
And I think you really should learn how to bugle like an elk. That would be a really good goal.
Well, I'll work on it, or maybe just change the horn in my vehicle or something like that.
Good deal. See ya.
All righty.